Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. Time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless you.
Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God.
And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. Come, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. worship your holy name.
Jesus, I will
worship your holy name. Worship your holy name.
That's very nice, very nice. You guys sounded good. All right, now I got like what, 33 minutes. I'm going to try to bust out a good section of this today so we can finish up next Sunday with dinosaurs. We are in our discipleship study following Jesus' call, and we are in the section, be ready to give a reason for your hope. You should be able, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to explain to people the gospel, why they need Jesus Christ as a Savior. Be able to explain why you believe in God, why you believe in the Bible, why do you believe the things you believe. They're based all in the truth. Christ is that truth. God is the truth. So you should be able to talk to people about what you believe and why you believe it. 1 Peter 3:15 commands it. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense. There are so many attacks against the truth. We are called to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So that's why we've been going through all these tough questions and subjects. And we have been talking about dinosaurs. When did they actually exist? Last time we talked about this, we were looking at the pre-flood evidence. According to the Bible, this is the timeline of human history, of all history. There is no such thing as prehistory, prehistoric. No such thing. And that God created all things on day six that are on the land, including humans and dinosaurs. We saw the evidence that supports this. Because according to the other view out there, millions of years, the evolutionary time scale. Next slide, Levi. There is no connection between dinosaurs and humans. They existed millions of years apart. There's no connection between them whatsoever. But then you have a hard time explaining how we find human artifacts in coal seams that were supposedly created 300 million years ago. While we find bones in rock layers along with the dinosaurs. While we find human footprints with dinosaur prints. These are things that are out there. You can see them. They are real, but they are not taught to the young minds. And I'm going to show you that next week. I want to show you next week how they're using dinosaurs to, in millions of years, to go after your kids. According to their theory, humans and dinosaurs did not exist together. And they want to protect this narrative so bad, this lie that they have. They're willing to go to the extreme measures to protect it. We saw last week that they fired a scientist for proving with science dinosaurs and humans walked the earth together. And we showed this was back in 2014 when the evidence was found of dinosaur skin that was still stretchable, proving it wasn't millions of years old, blood vessels. And we showed that 3 years later in 2017, the school had to pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars because they fired him for what was actually true. So looking at the pre-flood evidence, we saw all the evidence of pre-flood, before the flood, humans and dinosaurs existing together. Now we're going to look at post-flood, how we know dinosaurs were on the ark. You're like, no way, they were way too big, right? Well, how big were their eggs? Yeah, the biggest one's football, about a football size, ostrich egg-like size. A lot of them were a lot smaller than that. And even though the dinosaurs grew really big, they started out very small, just like all animals do. And we've already talked about the animals that Noah had on the ark, and they were small. They were babies. But we want to show you this. Now, how we're going to do this is, according to our timeline, there's no problem with dinosaurs and humans being in the same rock layers because they were buried in the same flood. But if the evolutionary time scale is true, millions of years separate dinosaurs. They all died out 65 million years ago. And then humans evolved around 100,000 years ago. So there should be no understanding from humanity's perspective of dinosaurs until the 1800s. The first dinosaur bones were discovered in the late 1600s, but they had no clue what they were. But by the 1800s, they had pieced it together that used to be some extinct animals that were really big. So before 1800, there should be not even the slightest clue in humanity that there was ever these large reptile beings. Would you agree with that? If evolution, millions of years, is true. Yes, because they died out well before humans ever evolved. Good. Well, let's begin with the evidence that disproves that. Let's start with the Ica stones of Peru. Now, this is a great article. You can go online, Google this, and you can read all about it. Back in the late 1920s to 1950s, they found these incredible stones called the Ica stones down in Peru. And they were fascinating find. The original Ica stones are still in the National Museum of Peru. But there's been a lot of fake Ica stones after the fact created to sell around the world in the black market. So you have a lot of fakes, but the original ones that were found in Peru were amazing, and they're still held by the Peruvian government. Read this article if you doubt what you're about to see. Next slide. The Ica stones had drawings on them, carvings into the stone, of humans and dinosaurs. So people say, oh, this has to be fake because we know they live 65 million years apart. No. And what's so interesting, what's so fascinating, especially today about these stones, it shows on the dinosaurs' patterns, design, circular. Well, how would a human being know to draw that in the stone unless they could see them? And what we have discovered, next slide, Levi. Rare mummified dinosaur unearthed contains skin and maybe organs and muscles as well. We have started to find, like I said, pretty fresh evidence, remains of skin and of muscles and of blood. And they have started mapping out some of the DNA on the dinosaurs. And it's telling us information like they did have patterns on their skin. Just like animals have patterns, like tigers and all sorts of stuff have patterns. But back in the day, the older generations, you can probably confirm this. What were the full colors of dinosaurs in the 1950s? They were all green or they were all gray? Brown. No. They were actually quite colorful. Just like animals and reptiles are today for the most part. Okay? There's a book called Dinosaurs All Around. The lady who wrote this is an atheist. Her bio and everything says it. She's not a believer. And she wrote this on dinosaur skin. Next slide, Levi. Talks about the skin having circular patterns and all this stuff. These are new discoveries. So when we realized that the new discoveries are really neat, how did this stone, the artist of this stone, the carver of this stone, know? Because these skin patterns weren't discovered until recently, a few years ago. How did he know to draw? Maybe they were still seeing the dinosaurs, some of them. I'll explain how that's possible here in a little bit. But here's another stone. It shows several different dinosaur types in it. Here's another one. It's a little hard to read, but it does look, or see, it does look like there's a person riding a dinosaur-looking creature. Now, it's not just the Ica stones of Peru. You go back into the Egyptian culture. And here's an artifact, and if you can tell, I see the two men on either side. If you look real close, you can see that Egyptian beard thing they had going. And two animals that look like long-neck dinosaurs. And there must be something about these long-neck dinosaurs where they must have used to wrap their heads around each other's necks. Because it's not just here. I'll show you here in a little bit. It's in other drawings from other cultures. Long-necked dinosaurs with their necks wrapped. And giraffes kind of do the same thing. I think the mates, I think in fighting they hit each other, but the mates, they'll wrap their long necks with their mates. This is very interesting. But this is Egyptian. Next slide. This is the whole vase, or vase they call it. But you see those two long-necked dinosaurs. This is from the first pharaoh of the United Kingdom. But it's not just the Egyptians. Now we can come back over to the Native Americans, Central America, and Native American Indians. Their pottery and their weaving has animals that you can only describe as dinosaur-ish, dragon-ish. Tons of it. Here's another one. Now, if you saw that animal, if they said, what animal is this depicting, what would you say? You know? Very mean-looking turtle? I don't know. But it's not just pottery of the Native Americans. We also got cave drawings all over the world. This one, I believe, is in New Mexico. Next slide, Levi. Here's one in Utah. Next slide. Looks like a dinosaur to me. How did those humans see dinosaurs when they died out 65 million years before people evolved? Here's another one. Shows a bunch of people fighting a big animal, and with horns, it looks like a big triceratops or something. Here's another one. And this one is in Canada. And it's got some sort of creature with spines or scales or something coming off it. Nothing we know today. But it's not just in North America and Central America and Peru and in the Egyptian area. It's also in Asia. Let's go over to Cambodia. All right. And they have a lot of temples that have just ruins that have just gone into disarray. And they're all throughout the jungle. Most of them have been lost for hundreds or maybe some thousand years. But in a lot of these Cambodian jungles, you have these structures, these ruins, and they got creatures that look like dinosaurs. That one there you see looks like a stegosaurus. There's an up-close view. That looks like a stegosaurus. I mean, I don't know any other animal in the animal kingdom that you could say, that's what it is. It looks like a stegosaurus. All through Asia. Well, let's go back in history to the Romans. Here's the Romans. Remember the Egyptian pottery showed two long-necked dinosaurs with their necks? Well, here's a Roman mosaic depicting the same thing. 2nd century A.D. I'm not saying that there were still long-necked dinosaurs during that time by 2nd century, but they definitely knew about them. So that means somewhere in their ancestry, they knew about dragons or dinosaurs. Remember, dinosaur bones weren't finally put together and figured out until 1800s. Pharaoh 15th century brass engraving. Definitely is a long-necked dinosaur. In 15th centuries, a couple hundred years before the 19th century, when they finally figured out there used to be dinosaurs. But they didn't call them dinosaurs. You know, realize the word dinosaur didn't come into existence until 1841? Yeah. Before it was called, people used the word dragon. All right, if you study the history, you can go back and study how words came to be. And usually they're coming from multiple languages and they morph over time. And the word dinosaur you won't find before 1841. Before then, you can find the word a lot in cultures. Dragon. Next slide, Levi. All right, so basically, Sir Richard Owen, he came up with the word dinosaur. He took two words meaning terrible lizard and created the word dinosaur in 1841. But before then, in the cultures around the world and writings, you had the word dragon. Now, if you look at the history of the word dragon, it comes from Old French, which came from the Latin, which came from the Greek, meaning huge serpent, giant sea fish. And the word dragon was used all the way up in English until the 18th century when it got replaced with dinosaur. And when the first King James Bible was produced in 1611, they used the word dragon because dinosaur hadn't been invented yet. Next slide, Levi. Here's a from the old the old King James 1611. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. That was a common term in the 1600s. Creatures called dragons. Now, if you get the modern translation, go ahead and click one, Levi. There you go. Psalm 74 says this: You divided the sea by the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents. Man, was there a lot of legends of sea serpents back in the day? Pirates saying, you know, if you sail to the end of the world, there'll be monsters there. You should really study the old sea serpent legends. A lot of well-known, very established, very professional reputation writing sea captains. Because that was a very honorable position back in the sailing days. A lot of the sea captains recording things in their ship logs of sea serpents. It was probably a lot easier maybe to come up on these sea serpents because you were in a ship that didn't have an engine. You were cutting through the water a lot quieter than ships do today. There's a lot of well-respected men who wrote of seeing some very strange creatures out in the ocean. The Bible speaks about it too. We'll get to that next week. You have to look at this city in France. It was renamed in the honor of the dragon slain there. In the account from these French people, they describe this beast bigger than an ox with long, sharp, pointed horns on its head. And their description looks like a triceratops. Very interesting reading when you go back and Google it and you can read it. Then you can go back all the way to Marco Polo. All the kids know who Marco Polo is, right? You played in the pool every summer, right? But it was actually a real person. He reports that in China, the emperor in 1271 had dragons pulling his chariot. Another thing interesting about the Chinese. Now, we don't believe in the zodiac. You look at the stars for your future. No, no, no. We look to the one who created the stars. Any other perversion than looking to the one who created the stars, looking to the stars for your sign or, you know, guidance, is an occult practice. It's witchcraft. It's bad. God condemns it. God says, you want truth? Seek the one who created the stars. But in the Chinese zodiac, do you realize that they have all real animals but one? All the animals are real, except for the year of the dragon. Why have all real animals and one mythical animal included? Or maybe when they created this, dragons were not a myth at that time. You've got to ask yourself why. You know, could dragons be the reason we have so many dragon slayer legends? In the Sumerian story of Gilgamesh, dating back to around 300 BC, 3000 BC, I mean, we read about Don't you hate it when your tongue says, no, I ain't going to say that. Gilgamesh, where he encountered a vicious dragon. The Anglo-Saxons also had legends around 1000 AD, described numerous encounters between people and dragons, terrible lizards. One of England's earliest heroes is St. George, who killed and slew a dragon that was harassing a village. Another story from the 10th century, written by an Irishman who encountered a dragon. The description of it still looks like a stegosaurus as well. It's interesting that in most of the stories resemble most of the legends are lizards or dinosaurs that were not necessarily meat eaters. The ones that seem to survive longest and are recorded in legend are your long-necked dinosaurs, your bronchosaurus, brachiosaurus, your stegosaurus, your triceratops. You don't hear much about the T-Rexes and the raptors from Jurassic Park. Why do you think? Well, yeah, those are the threatening ones. Got to get rid of those. Kill those bad ones off. The plant eaters, they're not too hard to deal with unless they come in close to town or something. Just interesting to think about. Remember, humans did not know about dinosaurs until the 1840s. So how do we explain all these legends, all these carvings, these drawings that show dinosaurs? Early man, according to the humanists, never saw one. They died out 65 million years ago. But they're drawing them. Here's St. George. I think this drawing right here, this carving, is in Rome. I forget exactly where it is. But it's like 16th, 17th century. That's before the 1800s. All the way up to modern day, believe it or not. Half God, half beast. This is the Boston Herald newspaper in 1999. They did an article on reports of living dinosaurs in Africa. Okay? So, they call this the Mokili Membe, something like that. Next slide. There you go. All right. So, there were reports coming out of Africa of tribesmen in this jungle. This jungle is huge. Go to the next slide. This jungle is huge. It's bigger than the entire state of Georgia. Georgia and a couple other states could fit in this area. It's all swamp. People go there and say, it's the one of the worst places to ever be. The humidity, the temperature is always hot. Lots of poison animals. Animals trying to kill you everywhere. Insects trying to kill you. They say mosquitoes land on you like 1,000 per hour. They say it's just the worst place to go. But there are people living there. And these people have never been educated. They've never been outside the swamp. Well, back in the 80s, they started reporting these, taking these small versions of dinosaurs. Dinosaurs that used to be, you know, what we know was very big, now more like the size of a small elephant. But they were reporting, and they drew what they were seeing in the swamps. Not a lot of them, but some. It made the news. People went there to try to find pictures, take pictures. But just like, you know, Bigfoot is the world's winner of hide and seek, I guess the dinosaurs took the same class. No one's gotten a picture. But there was reports. You know what the interesting thing about reptiles? Go to the next slide, Levi. Reptiles grow their entire life. They're only limited on the space they have or how much food source they have and time. Pre-flood world, remember we talked about the perfect living conditions and things lived a lot longer? Well, just imagine some of the animals that we still have today with us, if they were living, if these animals were back in a perfect living condition, the better oxygen content, longer years, lifespans, reptiles will continue to grow every day they're alive. Look at this next picture. Anybody know what that is? What? Yeah, it's a monitor that comes. Somebody, yeah, it's one of those dragons they have over. These things grow 10 feet long, 300 pounds. Now imagine that back in the pre-flood world, living a couple hundred years. What would that look like? Next picture. Next picture. They're still big now, but imagine if it was in a perfect living conditions. What about this beast? Whoa, man. That's an ugly looking animal, man. That is just ugly. That is just a scary thing. They grow up to around 20 feet now. 2,000 pounds. What would that thing look like in perfect living conditions of the pre-flood world? Next slide. Remember, we got the fossilized remains of humongous crocodiles compared and alligators compared to modern day. Next slide, Levi. Got some big skulls. Next one. What would this sea turtle, or not, this is not a sea turtle, this is a land turtle, but they grow, I think they live around 100 years today. People maybe a little over 100 years. What if that thing was living a couple hundred years? How big that turtle might look. Maybe if it keeps growing, the back plates would pop up. Maybe that could look like a stegosaur. I don't know. Crazy things, right? But we know how big sea turtles used to be. Turtles in general were big. And I know everybody's favorite, snakes. Today, snakes can get 26 feet long. What were they like pre-flood? The whole point is here, there is evidence that humans knew about dinosaurs before the 1800s. Which means they didn't die out 65 million years ago. Most of them have died out. And they probably died out pretty quick after the flood. And there's a couple reasons for that. And I'll go over that in a second. But the point is, there must have been dinosaurs on the ark that survived the flood because humanity has drawn them. Humanity has carved them. Humanity has put them into weaving and basket making. Humanity knew about the terrible lizards before science discovered them in the 1800s. That does not fit the millions of years human evolution timeline. It fits the biblical timeline. Most of them have died out, but as we look, maybe we still exist with some dinosaurs. Just smaller versions because they no longer live in perfect living conditions. So what happened to most of the dinosaurs, especially probably the meat eaters? Well, post-flood world, you got a creature now that is scary and maybe going after your family. Kill it. Hunt it. That makes a lot of cheeseburgers. What? Yeah, forget dino nuggets. The tail would probably feed you for a month. But you definitely want to kill the most aggressive ones. And that's why all the tails don't speak of the meat eaters. Humanity probably got rid of them pretty quick after the flood. But if they weren't hunted to extinction, the temperature changed. There was no cold mentioned before the flood. But after the flood, we have hot and cold. And less oxygen content. And here's something I didn't mention before, but this is very interesting. A huge brachiosaurus would fill this whole room, right? The size of their nostrils for breathing are the same size as a modern-day horse. Now, how does an animal that would fill this room get enough oxygen in through those nostrils to supply all the oxygen that huge body would need with the size of horse's nostril today? There was more oxygen back then. And you didn't have to breathe as much or hard back then. Now the climate is different. The oxygen content is not there pre-flood. That canopy is gone. The pressure is not as great as it used to be. Now it's harder to breathe. So one, you're not going to grow as big. Maybe that's what they're seeing in those swamps back in the 1980s. They can't grow as big. And again, if you saw one of those creatures, that would feed the whole village for a long time. Right? Less oxygen, man hunting them. Some still around, smaller today. But in summary, dinosaurs did not exist millions of years ago. We've already proven millions of years don't even exist from science. Go back and look at that. So millions of years are already gone. But also, now we see the physical evidence that shows humanity and dinosaurs existing together. You cannot deny it. And you must question, why do the schools, the government, the schools, the universities, the colleges, why don't they teach the full story? Why is it only given in one direction? And I will show you that next week, how they are targeting and have been for a long time, children, especially Christian children, from kindergarten on up, to get them to think only one way, and eventually, through that one way, not to believe in this. I'll show you that next week. We'll finish up dinosaurs next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Again, Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Lord, we thank you that you created mothers. They have the amazing gift of producing and creating life and then being these beautiful examples to their children. And Lord, no one shows compassion and mercy in this world like a mom, like mothers do. Lord, we thank you because in them we can see your compassion and your mercy. So, Lord, we thank you for the mothers, this special day that we honor them. Lord, I ask you to be with the moms, strengthen them. A lot of them, their kids are already raised. Others we have in here, they're just starting with their kids. Give them the strength and the endurance to be the moms, to be the super moms that they are. Strengthen them and let them realize that the role they're playing is the most important role. I know society doesn't highlight moms, especially stay-at-home moms. But Lord, what a beautiful gift that is for children. And what a sacrifice, and the toughest job in the world is to be a mom who is mom all the time. So Lord, again, just thank you for our moms. Bless them this day. And Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, that we can see that everything you say in your Bible is true. And the evidence backs it up. So Lord, let us stand on that. Let us go out this week, be salt and light, be your church, and celebrate you, Lord. Walk. Let us walk in the joy of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up? We'll break out of here. 12:03. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. All right, Team Jesus. Let's go be his church. Remember, you are the few, the loved, the redeemed. Don't let that escape you. You have the most precious gift ever given to humanity in all of human history. You have it. It's that place with God. You know, cherish it. All right, let's break out of here. Go celebrate your moms. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Let's go.